The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masech Gittin, Daf Nun Heyomid Beis. Gemara tells us, "Hakamtzu bar kamtzuchor Yushalayim." Yushalayim was destroyed because of an episode with two people by the name of Kamtzu and Bar Kamtzu. Atanagula v'tanagusa chorav tur malko. There was a great city that had millions of people, and it was called Tur Malko, which means the mountain of the king. And there also, later on, after the destruction, took place another destruction. This was in Eretz Yisrael. And this destruction was because of a rooster and a hen. Asako de Rispak chora Beitar. Then there was a place called Beitar, which is a krach godel, a very, very strong city, a fortress. Also many, many people. And there later on took place another destruction in Eretz Yisrael. And this was because of Asako de Rispok, which was the side of the wheel of a woman's chariot. Last year we spoke on this Gemara. The Gemara goes to great length in Masech Gittin. I'd like to repeat a few things we said last year and go a little further this year. The Gemara tells us what was the case of Kamtzu Bar Kamtzu. Ahu Gabra Drachme Kamtzu Ubal Devova Bar Kamtzu. There was a person who was a good friend with Kamtzu, and he was an enemy with another person called Bar Kamtzu. Ovat Sudoso, this person decided to make a Suda, a feast. Omale Lishame, Zil Aisili Kamtzu. And he told his servant, go and invite Kamtzu. Ozil Aisile Bar Kamtzu. By error, he went and he invited instead Bar Kamtzu. Osa Ashkeche Davi Yosef, Omale Michtiahu Gavra Baldebovadu Gavruhu, my boy Socho. When he saw Bar Kamtzu sitting there, he said, what are you doing here? You're not my friend, you're my enemy. Kum puk. And then he said, go, get out. So he said, since I'm already here, let me stay. And I'll pay you for what I eat or drink. So he said, no, you must go. He said, I'll pay you for half of the entire feast. He said, no. He said, I'll pay you for the entire Suda. He said, no. He took him by the collar and he threw him out. Naturally, this was a very, very great embarrassment to this individual. He said, "Oil v'aviyaspe rabonim v'le machu beish mamino kon nicha lehu." Since there were so many people there, and including the rabonim, and they didn't say anything, so you see that they didn't mind that I was thrown out. Ezel echel behu kurtze be malko. I'll go now, and I'm going to slander the Jews by the king. This was in Eretz Yisrael when the Romans were very, very powerful. So he went to the Caesar, to the Caesar, and he said that the Jews are rebelling. And from here came the final cause of the Churban of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash. Little later, the Gemara brings Atana Gula Vitara Glusta Chorev Tur Malka. Tur Malka, the city of the king, which was on the mountain. Having the Higiki, having Mafke Chasna Vekalto, it was their custom that when they would bring out a chosen in color and marching them to the chupa, mafke kamayo tanagula v'tanaglusa, they would lead in front of them a chicken and a hen, klaimar, in order to say peru urvu ketanagoli, you should be fruitful and multiply like the chickens, a rooster and a hen, because a rooster and a hen are blessed with the capability of multiplying very quickly. Yumachad have a kocholef gunda deramoi. One day there was a legion of Roman soldiers passing by, and meanwhile there was a chosen and kala. They were marching, and there were the rooster and the hen. Shaklinu minayo. And the Roman soldiers went and they took the rooster and the hen. Noflu alayo mechunoi. The Jews went, and they went and they beat up the Roman soldiers. Osu omru leila kesar modeboch yehudoi. So the soldiers went back and reported to the Caesar that the Jews are rebelling. Osu alayo. Caesar sent his soldiers, and from here one thing led to the other until there was a total war, and with the eventual downfall and destruction of Tur Malka. Then the Gemara tells us a little further, Asaka de Rispak Choriv Beitar. Because of a wagon wheel, the great city of Beitar was destroyed. Davin de Higi ki have misroid Yenuka Shasli Arzo. It was their custom that when a boy was born, a zocher, then they would plant a cedar tree. A female was born, they would plant another tree called a tuniso tree. Chiavi minsebe, and when there would be a chasana, kaitzilohu, so the father of the son and the father of the daughter would cut down these two trees, v'ovdu gando, and they would make from here a chupa. A chupa was not like our chupa. The chupa was the house of the chosen that the chosen and kala would live in. Yumachad have a kocholfe barte de kesar. One day, the daughter of the Caesar was driving in a chariot with a group of escorts. Ipar shaka de rispek. And the wagon, the chariot wheel broke. So her escorts went to look for some wood to fix the wagon wheel. Kotsu arzo. They went and they saw one of these cedar trees and they cut it down. Vailo. And they brought it to her to fix the wheel. When the father saw that they were cutting down his cedar tree that he planted in honor of his son, he got together a few of his friends in Nopol Alayu Mechanoi, and they went and they beat up the Roman escorts. Osu, so they went back in Omru Leila Kesar, and they said to the Caesar, Modeboch Yudoi, that the Jews are rebelling. Osu Alayu, so they came to Beitar. That started the war of Beitar, which led to its eventual destruction. The explanations in these Gemaras this evening are from the Maral Miprag in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was blessed with three unique brochas. The first brocha, which is the Sheirish, the Mokar, the foundation of Eretz Yisrael, what makes Eretz Yisrael special, is the Shekhinas Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there. Like it tells us in Parshas Ekev, Yud Aleph and Yud Aleph Yud Beis, Yud Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Deirish Esau. This is a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks. Tomid Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo. He's always there, and his eyes are always there. Meireishis Hashona Ba'ad Achris Hashona. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. He dwells there. This is a land that he has chosen. That's its first and foremost brocha. Secondly, it was given another brocha. And that was a brocha of ribuy, where it would have multitudes of people. Kekechve ashomayim, like the stars of the heaven. Thirdly, it was given a third brocha, and that is the chesek and tekef gvura, that not only would it have multitudes, but it would be very, very strong. The land would be strong, the people would be strong. These are the three unique perspectives and brochas of Eretz Yisrael when it was bibinyonai, when it was at its peak. The Shechinas Hashem, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there, that in particular was found in Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim was called Sion, and it states V'Hashem Sheichein B'Tzion, Hashem dwells B'Tzion. And in Yerushalayim was the Mokem HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, which was the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelt. And also in Yerushalayim, right next to the Beis HaMikdash, was the place of the Sanhedrin Agdola, the great Supreme Court, which was the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it says, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, that from Tzion should go Torah out into the entire world. So Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, this represented the Shechinas Hashem, that he dwelled there. Ribui, the multitudes, this we found in particular Antur Malka, this city which was called the Mountain of the King. The Gemara brings Ki Osa Rabin. When the Rabin came, he said, Elu Shishim Rabo Ayoris. These are the 600,000 cities. Shehoyu Loyle Yane Amelech, that the King Yanai had Bahara Melech in Tur Malko. It wasn't just a city. The Gemara brings that at its peak, before the Churban, before the destruction, there were 600,000 cities there. The Omar of Yehuda Maravasi, Shishim Rabo, Ayoris Hoyo Leliana Melech, Bahra Melech, Becholachas Vachas Hoyo Boyki Yetzi Mitzrayim. And every city had the equivalent of the amount of people that went out of Egypt. 600,000 people went out of Egypt. But actually it was much more, because it was only 600,000 males between the ages of 20 and 60. This is not counting the children, and not counting the older people, and not counting the wives. Chutz Mishloish, with the exception of three cities, Shehoye Boy Kiflaim Ki Yetzi Mitzrayim, and they had double the amount of the Yetzi Mitzrayim. So we see there were many, many millions of people living on that mountain. The Birchas Hariboy, the Brocha of multitudes, that was personified in Tur Malka. The third Brocha of Gvura, of strength, this was personified in Beitar. Beitar was always known as the strong fortress and was always called Krach HaGodol. Krach HaGodol means a great city, but also a very, very strong city. So therefore we have three brochas in Eretz Yisrael and three different places in Eretz Yisrael where each brocha came into its ultimate. Now these were not three independent brochas, but rather the second two were dependent on the first, because the source of all brochas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he and when he dwells, from there comes blessing. Therefore, when he dwelt in Sion, in the Beis Hamikdash, in Yerushalayim, so from there came the other brochas. The Birchas Hariboy, the brocha of multitudes, and Birchas HaChezek, and the brocha of Gvura, of strength. So the second two were dependent on the first one. And it was similar to that Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash, that was like the heart. Because from the heart, life goes out to the entire body. And Beitar was like the right arm, because the Yad Yemini is known as the strong hand. Yad Keor, that's the left arm. So strength is in the right arm. And Tur Malka was like the left arm, because the left arm is known as a Mishnehu. The left arm is a second arm, its purpose to help and serve with the first one. A Mishnah, it's like a Mishnah Lamelech. Why is a person called a Mishnah Lamelech, a Viceroy? Comes from the word Sheni, because he's second. That's where your Ribui begins. That's the beginning of more. The right arm is a single arm. Second arm is the left. The right arm was Beitar, and the left arm was Tur Malka. And these are were the brochas in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Poronias, the Churban, started at its Sheirish, started at the very source. Where? In Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash. Once the brocha of Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash was removed, so from there the Churban, the destruction, moved to the other two places, to Tur Malka and to Beitar, because their success was dependent on the success of Yerushalayim. That's why the Gemara tells us first was destroyed Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash. Then was destroyed Tur Malka, and then Beitar. And now also we can understand their Minhogim. It says that the Minhogim of Tur Malka was that when Achosin and Kala would be marched to the chuppah, they would march in front of them a chicken, a rooster and a hen, and tell them, Peru or Vu, multiply like a rooster and a hen. Because in Tur Malka they were evident and they were very cognizant and very proud of their ribui, of the enormous multitudes, the brocha of multitudes that they had. Therefore they used to give this brocha to the Chosin and Kala. And the minhag, the custom of Beitar, was that when a son would be born, they would plant a cedar tree. And when a daughter would be born, they would plant another type of tree. When these two would grow up, a young man and a young woman would grow up and they would get married, so their fathers would cut down their trees and build a chuppah with it. This was the sign of fortitude, of strength, because, first of all, the heiress, the cedar tree, was known as the strongest tree. Not only that, though, it was a very big tree. And it lasted for years and years. Trees last longer than any other types of plants. And they would take a tree, which was the sign of strength and fortitude and longevity, and they would make the Chosin and Kala's chuppah their home from it. So So this was the bracha of strength and fortitude and longevity. So each one made their custom was in accordance to their bracha. Tur Malka with the rooster and the hen, that they should multiply, and Beitar with the trees, that they should have a home that would be strong and long-lasting. Now, it states that Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash were destroyed because of Kamtzo or Bar Kamtzo. The essence of Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash, we said, was the Hashroza Shechina. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelt. This represents Achdus. Achdus means oneness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents oneness, unity, and he's contrary to Machlekes, Pirud, to disunity. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is a king. A king always is the uniting force. A king with revolution do not go side by side. Revolution is the antithesis of a king. A king is the essence of unity. What does the king do? The king makes the nation, takes many, many people, and he makes them into one. If you have a king, then you have one. That's why the king is always referred to ke'achad ha'am, the single one of the nation. If you have no king, then you have anarchy, then you have many. So the king represents oneness, and he is totally contrary to any type of pirud, division. Kolfkein, how much more so Melech Malchei Amlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the king of the whole world and he unites the whole world. And this is the essence of Shechina. That's why we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. His kingdom is one. There's no such thing as a split in his kingdom. There's no such thing as division. There's no such thing as two kings. There's only one, and that's him. And that's why he says, for example, as long as Esav is in the world, and Amalek, his descendant Amalek in the world. This Churban that we are talking about, this was the Churban of the Romans, which were from Esav. So he says, my oneness is challenged. Ein Shmi Sholem, my name is not in totality, my oneness is challenged. Ein Kisei Sholem, and my throne is challenged, is not one. Because Esav challenges the totality and the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Gemara says that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Beis HaMikdash, Nasru Abomus. Before then, we could go and make many altars and sacrifice. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Beis HaMikdash, the Yerushalayim, then all other altars became disqualified. In order that we should all come to one place, this was the uniting factor of Klal Yisrael and ultimately the uniting factor of the world. And that's why it states that Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, that from Zion should go forth Torah, one Torah. During the time of the Sanhedrin Agdola, Le'nimtza Machlekes B'Yisrael, there could not be two opinions in Israel. Because whenever there were two opinions, then they had to be brought to the Sanhedrin Agdola. And it had to be resolved there. And one opinion went out from the Sanhedrin Agdola, and all of Israel had to abide by it. That's why the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings, Bizman Hamigdosh and the Sanhedrin Agdola Leinimtsa Machlekes BiYisrael. There would be no such thing as a Machlekes. There's two ways in Israel. And that's why the Gemara says, we learned not long ago in the Parsha of Nedorim. It's last week. And in Nedorim it states, Kol Haneder Ki Ilu Bona Bomel Atzmai. What is a neder? It's referring to a neder when someone forbades himself to something which the Torah permitted. For example, the Torah permits him to drink wine, he takes a neder, a vow, he won't drink wine. The Torah permits him to eat meat, he takes a vow, he won't eat meat. It says, Kol Haneder Ki Ilu Bona Bomel Atzmai. Whoever does such a thing is as if he's building his own altars. Why? Because he's making shtei Torahs, two Torahs in the world. Because he is forbidding upon himself which was permitted to Klal Yisrael. So this was the oneness which Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdosh represented. Therefore, when Machlekes came to Yerushalayim and Sinas Shechinah, it says that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Sinas Shechinah. There was division, there was hatred. This story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa doesn't mean that because of that alone Yerushalayim was. That was the final cracking point. That was merely the barometer of what was going on. Because there was division, this broke the very essence of Shekhinas Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in Yerushalayim. This took the main feature of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdosh away. And then it crumbled. And came the Golus. Because what is the Golus? The Golus is merely Pirud, separation, division. Because our uniting factor was broken. So Chorav es Beiteinu, our Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so was our city, the Golinu Me'atzeinu, when we went into Golus. Because the Golus is division, is Pirud, and we were scattered all over the world. No longer as the one that we represented, because there was no longer a oneness before us, within us. And it goes even further. We see this oneness not only affected the city and the Beis HaMikdash, and not only affected Yisrael, but it affected HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it affected the Torah. Affected HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he went into Golus. It states at the time of the Churban, he went into Golus. Golus HaShechina. That he also left Eretz Yisrael. And it affected the Torah, because the Gemara tells us that in the time of the Golus, we'll have a hard time finding Mishnah Brura v'Halocha Brura b'Mokam Echot. We'll have a hard time finding clear Torah in one place. Why is that? Because it states, Kutshibrichu Uraisa v'Yisrael Chatu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah and Yisrael are all one. And since there was division in one, it reaches every aspect. Division in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, division in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and division in the Torah itself. There's more seats here. Therefore, the Gemara tells us, "Akamtzu ba kamtzu chorav Yerushalayim ubeis hamikdash." The churban of Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash specifically was because of the sinas chinam, the hatred, which was illustrated and finalized through kamtzu bar kamtzu. The Gemara and the Unvav on the base states that the Roman Caesar, who tried a number of times to destroy Israel, he made sieges. Finally, he sent Titus Arosho. Titus came, he came into the land, and overran the land, and he came to the Beis Hamikdash. Mora brings a pasuk, Ei Elokeimoi Tzur Chosuk Bay. Zeh Titus Arosho. Mora asks, how is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could listen Shechira V'gidav Klapei Mala, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could listen to all of the curses and the profanities of this Rosho and still remain silent? Ma also, so brings as follows, what did he do? Tofas Zeina B'yodai, he took a prostitute, Nichnas L'beis Kotshe HaKadoshim, he went into the Kotshe HaKadoshim, the most holy parts of the Beis Hamikdash. He had Sia Sefer Torah. There he took out the Sefer Torah and opened it up. V'ovar Avera Olecha. And there he transgressed an Avera. Notel Sayef, he took a sword, Gider Es HaPareches, he cut down the Pareches, that's the curtains which divide the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nasenes, a miracle took place, Vahyadam Vatzpeitz V'yetzei, and blood came out, and he thought that he had killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he went and he, with the curtain, he made a big, like a big sack, and he brought the kelim, the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, he put them in there, and then he took them on a boat and he went to be mispoyer. He went to show off his bounty to his city. And then at the Gemara says, Michamecha chasim ko, Michamecha chosin v'kosho, sha'ato shemeya ni'utze v'gidufe sh'osaros v'sheisim. How great is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he could stand by and witness this and see this and still remain silent. Mikomocha ba'elim Hashem, who is so great, but elim also means strong, and it also means someone who can control his silence. Now the Maral brings, he says we can learn this Gemara either kipshute, that it means just what it says, or we can learn this Gemara derech remes, symbolically. We could learn it like it says, but he says that's a little difficult from, well, he says we could learn it like it says, because Titus no doubt was an enormous Rosha, so he was capable of doing such a thing. This Hurban was a Holocaust many times over. According to the Gemara, millions and millions and millions of people were killed. And this was the source of Argolos and all of the Churbones and all of the Holocausts that came afterwards during a period of 2,000 years. So he was capable. But he said, possibly the Gemara doesn't mean it actually, it means it only perhaps symbolically, because he says, after all, he was a king, a great and mighty king, because before the Gemara brings by Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, he quoted the posuk which states, Vahalvonen be'adir yipol, that the Beis HaMikdash will fall into the hands of an adir. An adir is a mighty. And ein adir el ha-melech, an adir means a king, a Kodesh Baruch Hu would only give over Yerushalayim to a king. See, he was a great and mighty king. And this is not conduct for a king. Even a king who's a Rosha, but he still conducts himself in a civilized manner. And also he brings Josephus writes on him that he was a very, very fine person, at least outwardly. He conducted himself with nobility like Esau. Very honorable and noble. So how could he do such a thing? So therefore, he says, you could learn it kipshutai, he did it, or the Gemara means it symbolically. But anyway, we learn it. What is the meaning of it? She says as follows. This oneness that we're speaking about, this being united, this is represented in the Beis HaMikdash, and in particular in the Kodesh HaKadosh, because there was the Sefer Torah and the Luchos HaBris, the Torah and the tablets, and they were called the Bris. This is the Sefer HaBris or the Luchos HaBris, the covenant. They were the covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel. They were like the ring that binds the Chosen and Kala together. And the main Shekhinah Hashem, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled in Israel, was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim by the Oren HaKodesh, where the Sefer Torah and the tablets were. And on top of the Oren were the Kruvim. These were two images. And one was the image of a young boy, another of a young girl. They had wings like an angel. And they represented the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel. Mora says that Bizman she'esin retzeini shel mokum, at the time when Klal Yisrael would fulfill the will of the Almighty, so then the people could see that the Kruvim were looking at each other with admiration. At the time when the people did not fulfill the will of the Almighty, then they turned their backs to each other. So this was the mokum of the Kesher and the Chibur. This was the place where they were united. Azona, firstly, is a terminology which is used many times in the Torah for Avodah Zorah, idolatry. Asher ato zonim achareihem. So if you shouldn't go after the other gods, asher atem zonim achareihem. Why is it used for idolatry? Because the zona, the prostitute, this is the illustration of unfaithfulness. A union with a prostitute represents unfaithfulness. Aveda Zorah, idolatry, represents the turning one's back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being unfaithful to Hashem. And Titus HaRosha, this was Esau, they were the idolaters. Once there was this break, there was this machlekes in Yisrael, the Sinas Chinam, and there was division. So then the uniting factor between Yisrael and Hashem started to break. This allowed someone like Titus an entry into the Beis HaMikdash and into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Lulei Zos, without this, none of the Goyim could ever have overpowered the Beis HaMikdash, because it was too far above them. It was Israel with their Averus that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And now Titus was able to go in, and he was able to go all the way into the Kodesh HaKadosh, because that break was already there. And the bringing in of a zona, which represents idolatry and represents unfaithfulness, that he was able to do, either physically or symbolically. And Ala Sefer Torah, because this represented the violation or the shaming of the Sefer Torah, which was the Sefer HaBris, the covenant which brought Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what is meant by this Gemara. And from here we see the great and the grave danger of Machlekes B'Yisrael. And the Maral writes, whoever is marbe machlekes be Israel is marbe begolus. People who add division to Israel, is all they're doing is lengthening the golus, the exile, and lengthening the breach between Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allowing other tituses to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Call them a mayit b'machlekes b'Yisrael. Those that minimize, bring shalom and unity to Israel, they are a mamayit b'golus. They minimize in the golus, in the exile. That's geula. See, geula is the uniting of Israel, redemption. In regards to Tur Malko, this place that had millions and millions of cities with millions and millions of people, or actually 600,000 cities with millions of people, the Gemara brings Oma Ula Ledidi Khozili Ahu Asra Vafilu Shishin Rivose Koni Le Maxik. Ula says that I have seen this mountain. Ula lived many, many years later. And he said, I visited this mountain. This was long after the Churban. And not only it couldn't hold 600,000 cities of people, but even 600,000 sticks it couldn't hold. And then there was a tztuki. There was an atheist. And he told him, Hanina shkuri mishakrisai. It's not true. How could that place hold so many people? This is a question we can ask. We look at Eretz Yisrael today. How is it possible to hold so many people? Omale, he answered him, Eretz Tzvi Ksiv. And Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Tzvi. The word Tzvi has two meanings. Tzvi means beauty, pe'er. And Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Tzvi, a land of beauty. And Tzvi also means a deer, the land of a deer. And it's the same word, because the word means beauty, because the deer is so beautiful. This is why he was given that name. So what does it mean it was called the land of the Tzvi of the deer? Ma Tzvi zeh, ein ere machzik es besorei af Eretz Yisrael. Just like a deer. The skin of a deer, if you ever look at a deer, you'll see the muscles of the deer and the bone structure show prominently through the skin of the deer. And that's because it's very tight fitting. Once the deer dies, and you skin the deer, you can never get that skin back on, because it's gamdo, it comes together. So is Eretz Yisrael. Just like a deer, when the deer is alive, the skin fits it. When the deer is dead and you take it off, you can never get it back on a live deer again. So is Eretz Yisrael. When Eretz Yisrael is alive, when is it alive? When its people are living in it. And they are fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah in it. Then Eretz Yisrael stretches like the deer's skin to hold millions and millions of people. When the people leave, then it comes together. This is why it's called Eretz Tzvi. What is the explanation? Maral explains as follows. This is something which would not be understandable when it comes to a land from purely a physical perspective. Because even if something stretches or condenses, there's a limit to how much you can. But Eretz Yisrael is not purely a physical land. It's called Eretz HaKdosha because it has also a non-physical perspective. It has also a spiritual element to it. And this is why it's called Eretz Tzvi. Tzvi means pe'er, beauty. States Eretz Yisrael is the most beautiful. Bebinyonai, when it's totally built, in, when it's in perfection, it's the most beautiful of all of the lands. Mordechai tells us by the Maraglim, when the spies went to Eretz Yisrael, they saw Hebron, and Hebron is the worst of Eretz Yisrael. And still it was many, many, many times more beautiful than Soan, in the most beautiful city in Egypt, which at that time was the most Kigan Hashem, like the Garden of Hashem, the most beautiful city, the most beautiful land in the world. And Pe'er, beauty, is not physical. Radiance and beauty, that's something which is of a spiritual nature. And this is why it's called Eretz Tzvi. And the deer also. We find, what do we find by a deer? First of all, from the fact that its skin is so stretched, makes it very thin. This is the opposite of chumrius. This is the opposite of something very physical. Something that's very, very physical is heavy. The deer's skin is stretched to a thin point. It states that his skin is extremely beautiful. The deer has the beauty and the deer has the speed. Speed, like it states in the Mishnah of Ovos, have Yerotzki Tzvi. You should run like a deer. Speed is something which is non-physical because man was created from the earth, physical man. The earth doesn't move. The earth can be pushed, but it doesn't move by itself. It's not motivated. It's not self-motivated. Anything that's physical basically is heavy and is stationary or very slow. It is the non-physical that creates the power of movement. And when we find an animal has so much movement and is such light-footed, that's a symbol that it's above the physical, the basic physical levels. And the Gemara brings Eretz Yisrael is compared to Eretz Tzvi, just like a Tzvi is so quick, so is Eretz Yisrael quick to bring forth its fruits. So this is another intimation of this. Therefore, Eretz Yisrael was given a great perspective of Kedusha, of sanctity. And this gives its land a spiritual nature. This spiritual nature, therefore, it makes it similar to that of the deer. And therefore, it's called Eretz Tzvi. When it's alive with spirit, and that's when the Yisrael is alad moson. Yisrael lives in the land, and there is fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs, and the spiritual nature comes into its fullness, then its skin stretches and it can hold millions and millions. But when it's dead, when the people are not there and the Kedusha and the sanctity are not there, then it falls. And that's why Ula said, I have seen this place and even 600,000 sticks it cannot hold. And Beitar, when the Gemara came along and said, Asako de Rispok, that Beitar fell because of the wagon, the wheel of the wagon chariot of the daughter of the Kesar. It's interesting to note that in both of these cases, of Tur Malka and Beitar, the Romans went and they wanted to take the chicken and the hen, And the Romans went and they wanted to take the tree. What does this represent? This represents Esav, who was constantly trying to recover his brachos from Yaakov. These were the descendants of Esav. And intrinsically, the descendants of Esav always cry, whether they're cognizant or conscious of it or not, but it's innate. They always cry, "Es birchosi lokach." He has taken my brocha. Esav cried with a great cry. First bechirosi, first he took my birthright, and then es birchosi, and then he took my brochas. It's innate to the descendants of Esav that they always remember that. They always feel that Yisrael has taken our brochas. What Yisrael has is ours. And therefore, it was Nisgal Gladover, it came about, that the rooster and the hen that represented the great multitudes, and the trees, the arozim, that represented the strength and the longevity, the Romans jumped on, and they took it. And that started the scuffle and started the war. That's why a Jew must be careful, especially in the Golus. The Golus, when we're in the Golus of Esav, that if he has brochas, he should enjoy them, but conceal them. Don't flash them around in front of the descendants of Esav, because it is their nature to say, "Es birchosi lokach," these belong to my grandfather Esav, that your grandfather Yaakov stole from them. The Beis HaMikdash also Titus went to. Maybe that was because es bicherosi lokach, he took my first birthright. But there he could not take the Beis HaMikdash. He could take the vessels, but not the Beis HaMikdash. He could burn the Beis HaMikdash, but he couldn't take it. The other brochas they could take, but the Beis HaMikdash is too high of a level to be allowed that they could take. Then another note. It states that by Beitar, that happened with the daughter of the Kesar. Why did it happen with the daughter of the Kesar? Daughter of the Kesar was riding a chariot, and her chariot broke, and they needed wood to fix it. And this Maral says because Beitar again represented strength and longevity, fortitude. Man's strength is through his children. This is why a son is called a ben. Ben is from the word binyan, to build. And he writes also bas. A daughter is also binyan, because in Targum it's called bante. Bante also is from the word binyan, to build. So therefore, since we were speaking here of the building a future, that brocha that came about, the downfall of that came about through the daughter of Kesar. The Gemara goes to length to tell us that these cities had enormously righteous people, at least before. It was only because they fell from their level did the Churban come. And it writes that in Beitar in particular were very, very sanctified people living there. It brings, for example, the Gemara Nun Ches Omer Aleph. It says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Shem Gamliel, Madiksiv, Eini Eilelei Lenafshi Mikol Benais Irei. So it refers to the great destruction of the children. There were 400 botik in the Sioyis, 400 great shuls in Beitar. In those times, usually in the shul was the cheder. So there were 400 great shuls in Beitar, and in every shul there were 400 melamdei tinaikis, 400 principals of schools. And every principal had 400 students. So we can imagine what that was. There were 400 shuls, and every shul had 400 principals, and every principal had 400 students. So these were great cities on very high levels. And then the Gemara brings that because they were on such a great level with so much sanctity in Kedusha, and they had so much Torah, especially in Beitar, it brings the people were extremely beautiful. As we mentioned, Yofi, beauty. Beauty is something of a spiritual nature. Radiance and light. It brings, for example, Bnei Tzion Hayekori, the Bnei Tzion that were so beautiful. Meikore Hashivi Dramoi Havinakte Balyuna Digushfanko Umeshamshi Arisaiho. The nobility of Rome, they wanted beautiful, strong children. So what did they do? They used to take pictures of beautiful people and they would hang them all around the house. And this way they were constantly seeing them, and their wives were constantly seeing them, in the hopes that when they would reproduce, they would reproduce kibbeisim, they would reproduce such children like them. That's what they used to do in the beginning. Mikan ve'elech, after they invaded Eretz Yisrael, they used to be ma'isi b'nei Yisrael. They found that the youth of Israel were so beautiful. They used to take the youth of Israel, in particular from Beitar, as a slave, and they would bring them into the house to make sure that he would be in the house all of the time. And this way he would look at him all of the time, and his wife would look at him all of the time, in the hopes that they could be reproduced children like them. Then the Gemara brings another such case. It says, Maisa B'ribishu ben Chananyo Sheholach lekrach gorl shebereimi. During this period of time, B'ribishu ben Chananyo went to a great city in Rome. Omru lei tinek echad yesh bebeis asurim. They said to him, there's a Jewish child who is locked up. Yefa einayim v'tevrei. Beautiful eyes, and so handsome, you've never seen anyone like him. Uktsesavs duras lay taltalim. Beautiful curly hair. Holach va'omer al pesach beis asurim. So he went to the jail, and he visited this young boy, and he said to him, Mi nosan lemishiso Yaakov Yisrael beizim. Who has given right to the enemy to come and to violate Israel? Ona ese tinaik the tinaik. The child answered, Hale Hashem zuchotonu lei vele ovo bedrochov holach vele shoma b'teirose. He says, it is our fault because we have not listened to Hashem. So Hashem has given them permission. We have not fulfilled his Torah or listened to his mitzvahs. Rabbi Shua said, Muftachani bei shemeira herob Yisrael. He said, I am confident that will come out a great sage of Israel from this young man. Ha'avaydo, I take a shvua, an oath, she'nizoz mikan at she'avdena b'chol moment she'peskin alof, that I will not leave this city until I ransom this child, no matter what money they ask. Omru, they say, le'izoz mishom at she'podu b'moment harbe. He didn't leave the city until he raised an enormous ransom to free this child. V'lohoyo yomi mo'oti mat she'heiro harobi Yisrael. And it wasn't long before he became a great sage in Israel. Umone Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. And this was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was to become later a great Kohen. So this also is an example of the height of the people. Then the Gemara brings a case later on with this Rabbi Shmuel, years later, but still during the time of the Roman occupation. There was a case of the son and the daughter of Yishul ben Elisha, Shenishba Lishnei Adonim. They were captured by two masters. Then the two masters happened to meet each other in one place. So one said, I have a slave, a Jewish slave, who you'll never she'en ki yefya b'chol ha'elam. You won't find someone as beautiful as this young boy in the entire world. The other said, I have a shivcha, I have a Jewish maidservant, that you won't find someone as beautiful as her in the entire world. So they said, let's marry them off and we'll divide the children between us. Now these two, they hadn't known this, but these two were brothers and sisters. They were both the sons and the daughters of Rabbi Shmuel. So they took them both and they brought them into one room that night. The whole night one sat in one corner and the other sat in the other corner. This one said to himself, I am a Kohen, the son, a descendant of great Kahanim. How can I go marry a maidservant? This one said, I am a Kahenis, the daughter of great Kahanim. How can I go marry a slave? And they wept the entire night, until when the dawn came and they recognized each other, that they were brothers and sisters, and they embraced each other and they wept until Yotzoso Nishmosom, until their souls departed. And on that is what Yirmiyahu said, Al Eile Ani Bechia Eini Eini Yordumayim, on these I weep, from my eyes come water. Here again we see the sanctity of the people and the beauty. And then the Gemara brings yet another case. It brings a case of Omar Reish Lakish Maisa bi Isha Achach. Reish Lakish says there was a case of a woman with Tzofanto Bas Piniel Shemo, and her name was Tzofanto, the daughter of Piniel. She was called Tzofanto, Sha called Seifin Biyofya. Tzofanto means to gaze. She was called Tzofanto because she was so beautiful everyone would gaze at her. Bas Piniel, she was the daughter of Piniel because she was the daughter of the Kain Godel. Piniel comes from the word ponim, inside. Shishimish lefnai lefnim, because he would serve in the innermost chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. She was captured. She was captured during the war. And nisol al bo shavoi kol alayla. And her captors sported with her and violated her the whole night. The mocher, the next day her captor, hilbisho shiva chalukim, he put on her seven cloaks, v'hitzia lemechra, and he took her out to sell. Bo or mechot shehoye mechure b'yeser, a very ugly, despicable, disgusting man comes along, and he says, I want to buy her, hareini ashefa, show me her beauty. Omar lo reiko, he says, empty one. If you want to buy her, buy. But you don't have to look at her, because there is no one as beautiful as her in the entire world. But he still, no, still he insisted. If she to shisha halukim, so he took off six of her cloaks, shvi karotov in his pausha be'efer. Then he ripped the seventh, and she fell into the dust, into the dirt. Omru lefonev ribeinu shalaylam, and she said to ribeinu shalaylam, imaleinu lei chosat chasto al kiddush shemecha hagibor loma lei soches. If you do not have rachmonis on us, at least have rachmonis on your holy name. And on that Yirmiyahu said, bas ami chagresak vispalshi be'efer. This is that story. Why was she so beautiful? Her name was Tzofanto Bas Pniel. Tzofanto means to look, and it also means Tzofun. Tzofun means concealed. Pniel means ponim, inside. She was the daughter of a Kohen Gadol that went inside. Maral explains, such beauty comes from concealed places. Beauty does not come from the earth. Beauty is always synonymous with radiance and light. And just as in the physical world, there's no light in the earth. You go down into the earth, it's cheshek, it's dark. The higher you go, the clearer the light. Because the more something becomes non-physical, the more radiant it becomes. When you go higher into the spiritual worlds, there you come even to a clearer light. This is why we say, it's actually brought from the Chassam Sefer, that in Birchas Ame'eres, in the morning davening, we say Yetzer Ame'eres, that first we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on creating the physical lights. And then in the next brocha of Avas Olam, there we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that goes ala Torah of creating spiritual lights. The higher one goes, the more light it becomes. And this is why Torah is called Or. It's a light. Therefore, her father was a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol went into the highest places, Lifnayo Lifnim, the Kodesh HaKadosh. There was the Oren. And the Oren was called Oren Shekulo Or, because it was light. And that's why he was called Piniel, going into the innermost chambers. And the higher one goes, the more concealed it is. Because the earth is revealed. The earth is the shell of the spiritual world, which is its soul. And just like man is revealed, the soul is concealed, but the radiance comes from the soul. He went into those highest chambers, and there was the source of Kedusha, and there he had a daughter. He gave birth to a daughter that you won't find her beauty in the whole world, he said. And that's why she was called Tzofanto, because Tzofanto also means Tzofun, concealed. Her beauty had come from the highest and most concealed levels. So this shows you what kind of levels they were on. If that's the case, so why was there such a holocaust? Why was there such a churban? Because they fell enormously from that level. The Gemara brings after that, what caused the churban then? Here in Beita, the Gemara brings Maidik Siv, Omar of Yehuda Marav. My dechiva oshku geveru beisoy viish v'nachlosoy. Because it came to a time when one man would steal from another man his wife, viish nachlosoy, and one would steal from another his inheritance. Maisa be'odim echod. This is what it fell to. There was a case of a man shenosa neinu beishes rabbi b'shulya denagrei hava. There was a man who was an apprentice. He was like a carpenter, and he was an apprentice to a teacher, and he was attracted by his teacher's wife. Pam achas, and evidently when he was attracted to his teacher's wife, evidently she was attracted to him also. Pam achas hutzrach lilvois. There was one time that the teacher had to borrow some money, and this student of his, this apprentice had money. Omelei shkar eshtecho etzli ve'elveno. So he said, send your wife over, and I'll give her money to you. I'll lend you money. Shigar ishte etzloi. He sent his wife to him. Sho imo shleisha shomen. And the apprentice persuaded the wife to stay with him for 3 days. Kodem bo etzloi. Omele ishti shishigati lo heichnu. So the teacher came. He came looking for his wife, and he says, "The wife I sent, my wife that I sent you 3 days ago, where is she?" Amalei ani patriso la alta. He said, "I don't know. I sent her away right away." But shomati shati nekes nisalabo. But I heard that something happened on the way, and she had some affair with some young men and so forth. So the man became angry. So he said, "My aser, what should I do?" He says, "Omalei imatosh meilei tzosi girsho." He says, "If you'll take my advice, divorce her." Omalei ksubose meruba. He says, "But her ksuba is too much. Her wedding contract, her settlement that I would have to pay off if I divorce her, is too much money. I don't have it." Omalei aniya alvecho. He says, "I'll lend you the money." Retain lo ksubose and give her a ksuba. Omadzevi girsho. So this one went and divorced her. The teacher went and divorced his wife. He paid off her ksuba with money that he borrowed from his apprentice. Holahu, the apprentice, went now, v'noso, and married her. Kiven shegias manai. A couple months later, when it came time to pay off his debt, v'lohoyale lefore, and he didn't have any money to pay. So the apprentice says, "You owe me money, where is it?" He says, "I don't have." He says, "Bov asi imi bechevecho. You come and work for me and work off the debt." Vayehem yoshvim ve'echlim ve'sheisim v'hu haya emir u'mashka aleihem. So here the apprentice is sitting there with the ex-wife of the master, and they are drinking, eating and drinking, and he is serving them. And tears were coming from his eyes and falling into the cups of wine. That was the final straw, and that sealed the gzardin on Beitar. And others say that there were two averes, from the fact that he stole his wife and from the fact that he stole his money. This sealed the gzardin. So they were on an enormous level, and there were many, many tzaddikim that remained on that level. But because so many fell and came to such low levels, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the gzardin. And this was just contrary to the level of kedusha and righteousness that they were on, and we see what it brought to them. So these are a few observations, And what the Gemara tells us, that there were three destructions. Yerushalayim u'Migdosh was destroyed because of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. And that was the source, and that was the Shekhinah Hashem. And on that, disunity. And Machlekes is what destroyed it. And from there it went to a second destruction. Atanagol, Gulevatanagulta, because of a rooster and a hen, was Chorav Turamalka. The great cities of the kings that were in the mountains were destroyed. They were blessed with Ribui, with enormous multitudes. And from there it went to a third destruction on the wheel of the chariot, with the daughter of the Caesar, was destroyed, Beitar. Beitar was the strength and the fortitude and longevity of Israel. And from here was Nimshach the Golus. We went into Golus, exile, which we still are in. The Churban took place on Tisha B'Av, and many, many other Churbanis after that in the Golus took place on Tisha B'Av during these times. And this is what we remember all of the time. The Gemara brings that we are always obligated to be misavil, to mourn for Yerushalayim. To mourn for Yerushalayim and for Klal Yisrael in Golus. All of those who will not mourn, it states, will not enjoy the rebuilding of Klal Yisrael. All of those who do mourn, they will enjoy the rebuilding of all of these cities, Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash. We hope, the Esses Hashem, that our days of mourning will soon come to an end, and we will all take joy in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.